Hey, football fans, this is Diana Rossini from The Athletic. Get the top stories in pro football snapped directly to your inbox with our latest NFL newsletter, Scoop City. Jacob Robinson and I will bring you the daily scoop of top NFL articles, posts, and podcasts every Monday to Friday. Sign up for free now at theathletic.com/scoop.
I love the Raiders, and most of all, I love to win.
There's been one demand, and that's holding up that Lombardi Trophy, period. That's all I care about, is holding that trophy up and holding that trophy up here.
The prime thing is you have to win. You have to win. Otherwise, you can't be a success in professional football.
You're listening to The State of the Nation with Jimmy Durkin, Vic Tafer, Tashawn Reed, and Ted Nguyen on the Athletic Podcast Network.
What's up, everybody? Welcome back to State of the Nation here on the Athletic Podcast Network. The presenting sponsor for today's episode of State of the Nation is Visa, a network working for everyone. Jimmy Durkin, Vic Tafer, Tashawn Reed, Ted Nguyen, ready to talk about the 2-0 Las Vegas Raiders. They went to Pittsburgh. We all doubted them, and they got it done. 26-17, an impressive road victory. Great game from Derek Carr. Great game from Henry Ruggs. The defense really showed out today. Solomon Thomas, two sacks. Trayvon Mullen had an interception. Really just, I mean, start to finish, pretty much an impressive performance from this team on a short week on the road in Pittsburgh against a very good defense. Obviously, we're helped a little bit by TJ Watt getting injured, but take nothing away from him. This was an impressive win, and they get to 2-0 with two wins over, I mean, over teams that you typically see at the end of the season in the Baltimore Ravens and Pittsburgh Steelers.
I think I'll take like half credit for this one because I picked them in the experts column and then I changed my mind once all the injuries started rolling in. So I'll pull a Vic from last week. I'll give myself half credit.
I don't know. It was a bit of a shaky pick, Sean. It was a little shaky.
Hey, it still counts. But yeah, the defense, I think from start to finish, they played a pretty great game. The offense kind of for the second week in a row, you know, even though they were able to move the ball pretty well, they kind of struggled to finish drives and maximize, you know, the amount of points they can get out of each drive. But they really started clicking there in the second half. And that's what ultimately led them, you know, to pull away with the game and then. And so pretty much back-to-back weeks are kind of following that script. I mean, I'm sure they want to get off to quicker starts and jump out the leads to begin games, but the end result is, you know, a win is a win. And so, as you said, you know, this kind of the way their schedule is set up, the beginning and the ends are kind of the toughest junctures. And, you know, don't want to overreact too much because they did start out 2-0 last year as well. But it just feels like this year is a little bit different when you consider how the defense is playing, the quality opponent that they went up against and then all the injuries that they were dealing with.
Yeah, I thought they were the best team today from wire to wire. I think that's despite, you know, being a short week on the road. No Josh Jacobs, one of their best players. They couldn't run the ball at all. But the defense set the tone early. I think the offense kind of picked it up late. But, tip your cap to Derek Carr. And again, 3/5 of the O-line not playing. They couldn't run the ball against a pretty good pass rush. And he definitely made plays when he had to. And just a very impressive win. Very impressive 2-0 start. I never would have guessed it'd be 2-0 at this point with the schedule and with the injuries, but you got to give John Gruden and his staff a lot of credit.
How strange is it to see the Raiders with a actual competent defense? Like, these guys know where to line up. Their pass rush is showing up, given they've played two offensive lines that are below average in pass blocking, but they're relentless. You know, like every third down, they're in the quarterback's faces. They're not giving up easy opportunities to any of these offenses. And I don't know how they're going to look against a better offense, but they're doing what they're supposed to against teams that are struggling offensively. And, you know, you couldn't say that in the past, you know, like last year or the year before, the Pittsburgh Steelers could have scored 30 points and, you know, you wouldn't bat an eye, but they're playing good this year. So hats off to Gus Bradley for really making an impact quickly on this defense.
In the great words of Ted Nguyen, this Raiders defense is a defense. It's funny, as simple as a statement that it is, it really is true. I mean, we have not seen this team be capable of consistently getting stops. You know, they might, okay, they get a stop here and there. Every defense does that. But you've never been in a position, as long as I've been following this team, that you go into a situation, a game, you're like, I think the defense can make some stops here. They can kind of turn this game around. And Max Crosby, I think another really good game, you know, doesn't have a sack in this one, but, you know, he and Unique Ngakoue got pressure on that, on Big Ben, on that pass that got intercepted by Trayvon Mullen. They just created problems for the Steelers offense.
Yeah, and that was with, you know, Yannick Ngakoue, you know, even though he played and he played a good amount of snaps, but he was, you know, still hampered by the hamstring injury and didn't play as many snaps as he did the week before, even though he left that game early. You know, they still were able to generate a pretty consistent pass rush and get after Big Ben. They only had two sacks, but, you know, those pressures and they had 10 quarterback hits. And, you know, that interception to Trayvon Mullen, for example, largely was because, you know, Ngakoue got close and then Crosby hit him as he threw and then the ball just kind of sailed right towards Mullen. And so we kind of saw that combo of the pass rush and the secondary working together, I think, in both of these games. But really today, and you know, even though they didn't have as many sacks as before, I think they were, you know, just about as effective as they were in week one from a pass rush perspective.
And who would have thought of all the linebackers we talked about in the preseason that the guy after 2 weeks would be the kind of the leading force would be Denzel Perryman. He's playing most of the snaps. He's in coverage, making plays in the run defense. And there's seven guys who have Bradley ties. He's one of them. And they've all come in, played a part. And definitely, I think it's why his defense is clicking, because those guys know what they're doing. You get the mix of the young guys who are definitely playing better than they were last year. So it's been a real nice mix, a very aggressive mix of players. And definitely you can see the difference right away in this team.
I haven't studied a bunch of Chargers defense when they aren't playing the Raiders, but every time I've seen Perryman, I always left impressed. Like, he's not a superstar guy, but he makes plays. He's very physical. He knows the defense. He's rarely ever out of position. And that's pretty valuable in this defense, especially with the injuries they're dealing with. And it's pretty interesting to see how a lot of the young Raiders players that we wanted to see take a step up are all of a sudden, you know, playing a lot better in this defense. You see Trayvon Mullen making plays. You know, Abram is not making those big mistakes that he was making last year and the year before. He's still hitting guys hard and making his presence felt out there. Darius Filon, I thought, played really well. You know, I don't know what his final numbers were. I know Solomon Thomas was the guy who finished with the two sacks, but I thought Darius Filon was really disruptive inside. So a lot of good signs for the Raiders. And this pass rush is relentless. I mean, it's one of the best ones in NFL that I've seen so far. But again, you know, they played kind of mediocre offensive lines, but it's just good to see that they're capable of this type of performance.
You know, Casey Hayward, I thought, had a nice game. He had two pass defense. You know, Damon Arnett had one nice play. He also did have the play against Chase Claypool where, you know, gave up the pass and then kind of had the mistake of not touching him down. But I mean, you got to get him out there and get experience and see if he can kind of grow. But I mean, Hayward, nice veteran presence out there for them. And I thought he showed up really well in this one. You know, and then you look at that defensive line. We talked about Crosby. Looking at the numbers, 5 quarterback hits for Crosby. Thomas had 3 quarterback hits. Obviously, had the 2 sacks. Quentin Jefferson, another one of the guys that they added. He had a couple quarterback hits today. So can make such a big difference on this team if suddenly they have guys on the interior. And we've talked for years. They need to find guys on the interior that can bring interior pressure. If they've got guys like Thomas and Jefferson being able to bring some interior pressure, that could just completely change this pass rush.
Yeah, Jefferson and Crosby had a real big hit on Big Ben. They kind of, you can definitely tell, left the bruise probably, and I think it was affected in the rest of the game. But the whole defense was hitting pretty hard. I mean, John Gruden mentioned it was kind of the days of George Atkinson and Jack Tatum, so definitely he was proud. And I'm sure a lot of Raider fans and former Raider players loved the attitude and the violence that came today on defense. So, again, can't say enough about the defense. Defense that came in, set the tone early, and kind of, I think, everything else kind of followed through.
You know, obviously we can't not talk about Derek Carr. Scary at one point. I mean, you see him get rolled up on the same ankle that he broke back in 2016. And, you know, if you listen to him on the post-game interview on the TV side, he said it kind of felt like that. He was immediately kind of nervous about it. It felt a lot like when he got hurt last time. But his immediate concern was, hey, did Foster Moreau catch the ball? He did. They got the touchdown. He was able to get up, and positive sign once we saw him walking off the field, immediately ruled probable to return. I think he hinted that it'll probably be wrapped up later in the week. We'll see how the plane ride, how the swelling kind of goes. I'm sure he's not going to be 100% for a little while there. But John Gruden talked on Friday about how, you know, when he's talking about Ngakoue, about how much he loves guys that are just tough and are able to tough through things. We all know Derek Carr, and you can say whatever you want about him, but the guy is tough, and he always fights through those kind of things.
You know, with him in week one, he had that rocky start, but I think the thing that was pretty consistent throughout that game and then carried over in this game was his aggressiveness. And that's, you know, before and after the injury. I mean, he just He's been unrelenting in his willingness to push the ball down the field, which was obviously a big criticism that many had of him, being too willing to check the ball down and kind of take the easy option. But I mean, this game he averaged 10.3 yards per attempt, and the big difference was he was a lot more accurate. He completed over 75% of his passes after being in the 60s last week, and so he was kind of hitting those big plays and doing so without having too many misses. He didn't turn the ball over. I know they had a couple fumbles early on, but yeah, I think this was kind of like overall, ideally what a fan would want out of Derek Carr in the game. Obviously, the injury scare aside, I mean, he almost hit 400 yards. He took a lot of deep shots. He was efficient, took care of the football. He was accurate. So, I mean, you couldn't really ask for much more out of him this game.
I was going to say in the past, the knock on Derek was if the O-line isn't strong, he'll also suffer. He'll be kind of less courageous in the pocket, won't make many rush plays, won't let plays go all the way to their full progression. But that's not been the case. They've had a lot of injuries in the offensive line. But two tough defenses, he's been great. I think he's been better than Lamar Jackson and Big Ben the first two games. I'm going to start calling him Derek Cut the Check Carr. It's time to pay him. He wants his money. Let's go.
If he plays like this throughout the season, you got to start the Derek Carr as a top 10 quarterback conversation, because what he's doing is pretty incredible. Because like you said, in the past, if his offensive line wasn't playing well, he'd be in the tank too. But his offensive line has been banged up. He's seen a lot of pressure, but he's still holding on to the ball, waiting for his guys to get open. Henry Ruggs' touchdown was a great example of it, because it's actually that concept was it's called Arches, and it's designed to be a short pass, maybe 5 to 10 yards to Hunter Renfro. And Hunter Renfro was open on that play, but he knew the Pittsburgh defense was being aggressive. He knew he would have a one-on-one opportunity, so he actually pump faked to Darren Waller and then threw it over the top to Henry Ruggs, even though he had Renfro open underneath. So that's just a good example of the different mindset that he's taking this year. And it's really benefiting the Raiders' offense that he's willing to push the ball downfield.
You look situationally at that play. They're up to 16-14, just under 10 minutes to go, fourth quarter, third and 10. It's a huge play. A lot of times what you're thinking is, third and Renfro, right? You want to get that underneath completion, move the chains to be able to connect on that. And obviously, huge, huge play for Ruggs. I mean, that's why Gruden said it. That's why they drafted him. And it was nice to see them get Ruggs involved more. 7 targets today. That's a career high. 5 catches. That's a career high. He never had more than 3 in a game last season. Never was targeted more than 5 times in a game last season. So it was nice that they threw him some short routes to get him involved early. And then, that's what you set up. You try to set up plays like that, because the reason you have Ruggs is to hit those deep shots.
Derek mentioned the confidence factor. Like you said, I mean, he's shown in the past, the more confidence he has in the receiver, the more will go to him. I think that today he said that was definitely a thing he has now with Ruggs through practice, repetitions, throwing the deep ball past the coverage, making Ruggs go run and get it. And he has been able to do that. So I think the more confidence he has in Ruggs, the more I'll take chances, the more I'll go to one, which is pretty exciting for Raider fans who want to see the offense of the old days, the deep ball and all that good stuff that Mark Davis and John Gruden love so much.
Unfortunately, I had Ruggs sitting on my bench on my fantasy team. And
nobody cares about
your fantasy team.
I could have really used those points, but it's all good.
Who cares?
Come on.
You guys are haters.
Even though he didn't have as big of a game in the first game, it did seem like they were targeting him more on some of the, the shorter routes. They didn't always hit. Like I said, Carr had an accurate week in week one, but it seems like they are trying to get him more involved in offense outside of just taking those chunk shots. Because we did see some of those deep shots last year, as Gruden mentioned, against the Chiefs and obviously the Jets game. But it was kind of like that was either he was either getting that or he wasn't getting anything, right? And so I think, like I said, with him getting 7 targets, career high tonight, from week to week, this needs to be a thing. He might not have a 60-yard touchdown every week, but there's no reason why you can't get him involved with some of those short and more intermediate passes.
And Derek also mentioned on that play where T.J. Watt knocked the ball out of his hands that he was going to go to Ruggs. Like, Ruggs is open. That's where he's going to throw the ball in about 2 more seconds that he didn't have. They had a decoy with Waller again, and Ruggs is breaking free. So I don't know if that's true or not. Ted can tell me when he watches the film, but apparently Ruggs could have an even bigger day today if that happened.
I'm sure Carr had it pointed out to him several times that that play on the first drive from last week where if he had gone Ruggs' way, Ruggs was going to have, I don't know, 70, 80-yard touchdown. So I would imagine, obviously those things get reviewed in film. Even if a play is a 15, 10-yard, 20-yard gain, you know, they look at that stuff. They look at what play did I miss, and quarterbacks will get on themselves and like, hey, I got a 15 yard gain. In that case, I think it was a 9 yard gain to Ingold, but missing the 70 yard touchdown is worse. I appreciate kind of Ruggs's honesty when Vic, you asked him like, what's that like catching a pass like that? And what he told you was, well, I'm just running. And all I'm thinking is don't drop it. It's kind of funny, but you know, it is the thing the first thing you got to think of is don't screw this up.
And not so much like, can I get there? Obviously he knew he could get there with that kind of speed. It was like, I'll chase it down, but when I get there, make sure you secure it. And the ball was kind of at the end, it was a little wobbly there when he brought it in. But yeah, just a great play. It just shows you his, you know, his confidence is growing. And he mentioned, like John mentioned, last year he won those two games and, you know, went up, but he made big plays in KC, also in New York. So it's always been a part of their offense. He's going to make it a bigger part of the offense this season.
Even if those don't hit, taking at least one or two of those shots a game, you know, it could be a pass interference, could be, you know, it could just set something up. You know, and one of the other things that Ruggs did that impressed me was an earlier catch he had, I don't know, maybe it was 15, 20 yards, but where he actually broke a tackle. That's one of the things that he worked on in the offseason, right? Tashaun was trying to add strength because he needs to play with more strength. You know, he needs to be able to get off press coverage. And so for me to see him catch an intermediate pass and break a tackle and run a little bit afterwards, that was maybe as encouraging as catching that big play.
Yeah, and that's, you know, kind of the hope for Ruggs is that you can hit him maybe on a slant or a screen, and you can use that speed not only to get open down the field, but also to turn those short gains into chunk gains, you know, 20, 30 yards. And so, you know, we haven't seen that consistently for him, but you know, coming into this offseason, I think he's up to almost around 200 pounds now. And you know, you can see that he's playing stronger and creating separation a little more easily. But I think that's kind of the next step for him is, you know, getting more of those plays where it's more so like get the ball to Ruggs and let him work more so than it being, you know, him just breaking free from a defender down the field.
Yeah, and it's interesting because, you know, when they drafted Ruggs, they said they wanted the next Tyreek Hill, and that touchdown was kind of an example of what the Chiefs do with Travis Kelce and Tyreek Hill, where they isolate Kelce on one side, and then they have Hill on the other side running a crosser. So if you double Kelce, you're going to have a one-on-one with Ruggs on the other side. And if you have that weak side safety poach Ruggs on the other side, then you're going to have Darren Waller one-on-one. He could run all underneath routes and choice routes and that sort of deal. So, you know, I would want to see a lot more of that. I want to see Ruggs line up on the other side running more crossing routes. And it doesn't always have to be, you know, the deep post. It could just be a crosser where he gets across the field and catches the ball in the intermediate part of the field and maybe run after the catch.
Everybody wants CeeDee Lamb and Jerry Jeudy. See, John Gruden, he's never wrong. You're never wrong. He knows what he's doing at all times. Don't question.
We'll be right back after a quick word from our sponsors.
It was nice today to see the balanced distribution. Ruggs, we already mentioned 7 targets. Waller, we know that the Steelers, they told us earlier the week they were going to be giving him a ton of attention, and they did. But still, they targeted him 7 times, 5 catches, 65 yards. He had that huge catch on the final drive that really allowed them to run out the clock. Renfro, 7 targets, 5 catches, 57 yards. Kenyon Drake, Gruden wasn't bluffing in terms of Peyton Barber being the primary running back. I guess he had the 13 carries. Drake only had 7, but Drake again, 5 catches for the second straight week. He was targeted 6 times. And then Edwards had 3 targets, you know, made a few big plays. And then of course we saw Foster Moreau get into the end zone. You know, we made a big deal last year out of, all of the snaps that he lost when, they brought in Jason Witten, because Moreau, you know, in what, 13, 14 games as a rookie, was a really good red zone target for them, had 5 touchdowns, and they've got him back, you know, as their number 2 tight end, and he was able to reward them with that touchdown.
And you watch him play like two years ago and again today. He looks like a tough cover. Looks like he's like athletic. He's big, good hands, knows how to, he's a smart kid. So I think he's definitely a guy who you can use more often than they have in the past, but definitely a big time red zone weapon. And you have those 2 tight ends, and then also sometimes you go 3 tight end sets. That's definitely tough for defenses to worry about all 3 of those guys.
I mean, understandably, you know, having basically 3 backup offensive linemen in there and being without Josh Jacobs, he couldn't run the ball very well today. And so we kind of saw that quick passing game become, you know, as we talked about leading up to the game, that kind of substituted their run game. And so it's been impressive, especially kind of just another credit to Carr that not only is the offensive line kind of compromised, but what did they run for, maybe 50 yards today? And they still were able to move the ball pretty efficiently and score a good amount of points. And so, obviously, you don't want that to continue for the entire season, not being able to block up front and not having a run game. But the fact that they've been able to pull off these wins and kind of remain an efficient offense despite the circumstances kind of bodes well for the rest of the year.
One thing Foster talked about, you know, when he first got here, you know, Gruden, first thing he says to him, like, hey, man, you're going to be our blocking tight end. And that was our impression of him, right, Vic, when they first drafted him, is that he was going to come in and fill that blocking tight end role. Hearing Foster talk about it, they didn't even view him as a guy that was really going to be a weapon in the passing game. It kind of just seemed like as his rookie year evolved, that, you know, they got him involved in a couple plays and he did some things. And I think they are probably surprised with how good of a receiver he is.
Yeah, I think they liked his hands in college. I think they saw him as possibly being a guy who can be a guy who can catch the ball in certain situations. But I think they thought that was a ways off. I think they were surprised year one he's able to do that much in the red zone. I saw, hey, this guy actually is a big time weapon. We can use him that way. I think he's only growing. And he'll tell you that, you know, Jason Witten, we all make fun of that signing, how it was bad for him, but he learned from him. He learned from a guy who's a Hall of Fame tight end. He studied, you know, how he studied and how he prepared for teams and learned some tips. So in his mind, it was a year worthwhile for him. Definitely learned a lot, and he thinks made him a better player going forward.
Yeah, and Moreau will get more opportunities as the offensive line improves, if it improves, because right now he doesn't get that many opportunities because he has to stay in and help block. He has a chip block. You know, as the offensive line does improve, he could run downfield more, and obviously if he's running downfield more, he'll get more opportunities. I think the Raiders are the best 12 personnel or tight end duo in the league with Moreau and Waller, and you saw a little bit of that. You know, he didn't have that many targets, but he made the most out of it with a really nice back shoulder seam, and then, you know, he runs that corner route into the end zone. So they could be pretty tough to deal with. I mean, it just, that line needs to just keep improving so that he doesn't have to stay in and block all the time.
Speaking of that line, Alex Leatherwood left the game, I believe, with a oblique injury. And, you know, he had his struggles a little bit, a couple penalties. I think, you know, the offensive line in general had a few penalties, a few too more than they would like. What's kind of the word, what's the thought on Leatherwood and that oblique? Is that something they're concerned about going forward?
Gruden didn't say too much after the game, as usual, about the injury. And so I'm sure it'll be a similar message tomorrow. So it seems like probably midweek we'll get a better sense of how severe it is or isn't. But oblique injuries, anytime you have those kind of muscle injuries, it kind of opens some window for there's going to be some time missed. But don't want to speculate too much just because we don't know the severity at this point.
Ted, initial impressions of your guy, Brandon Parker?
I didn't get to really zero on him much. I thought he gave up a sack for a second. I was like, oh, crap, man. I'm going to get crap for this. But it was actually Foster Moreau that gave up the sack when he was in blocking. So I'm curious to see how he looks. I mean, Leatherwood wasn't playing, you know, out of this world before his injury. And he's definitely just getting used to the speed of the NFL, didn't play too much preseason. So, you know, I wouldn't imagine Brandon Parker is that much of a downgrade to Leatherwood at this point right now. But you want Leatherwood on the field to keep improving and keep acclimating to the speed of the NFL.
There's your soundbite for the show right there. Brandon Parker, not
don't do it, Brian. Don't do
first,
it, Brian.
First round pick, Alex Leatherwood. Ted Wynn.
So this team's 2-0. They have beaten, like we said, two good, tough teams. What does this start do for our expectations of this team? How elevated should we get? I mean, you know, just as you watch the TV all day, every time they get to the halftime shows, you hear somebody saying, you know, I'm really impressed with the Raiders. It might be an uncomfortable position for Raider fans to hear a little national media hype. But I mean, I think after this start, just kind of listening in on TV, you know, the talking heads today, I think people are pretty impressed with this team. And the expectations have probably been raised a little bit.
Yeah, I'm like that Frank Caliendo post on social media where is John Gruden just win.
Let's see, what do we have here? Win, win, win.
Look at the schedule. Win, win, win. I think they're going to go long undefeated for a long time. I'm totally on board.
I picked them to be a winning team already. So, I mean, I wouldn't say like I think nationally they were – like, I think we kind of talked about this. Like, people were pretty down on them. Like, we saw a lot of 4-win, 5-win projections, 6-win, something like that. But I thought they'd be a winning team. So it wasn't unthinkable to me that they would get off to a good start. But, you know, maybe instead of 9 wins, maybe now I think they'll get to 10 wins. But I don't think it's drastically shifted for me. I always thought they'd be a team that's kind of in the hunt for that wild card kind of range of the spot. And so I still kind of feel that way.
Yeah. I mean, I think the difference is that their defense looks competent and they're not just relying on Derek Carr to score, you know, a ton of points and win shootouts all the time. So I think that's the main difference that is really impressing people. And, you know, all of a sudden, you know, the Dolphins look like a really winnable game, especially if Tua can't play and Jacoby Brissett is starting. The Bills just shut them out. And, you know, if you start the season 3-0 against this, how the schedule looked like in the beginning of the season, that's a great beginning for this Raider team.
Win.
Yeah, I mean, you look at the schedule, like you said, Dolphins next week at home. We don't know if Tua Tagovailoa is going to be available, but bruised ribs. He's getting an MRI on Monday. So, you know, doesn't sound great. And Jacoby Brissett, but don't call him the backup. He doesn't see himself as a backup. He sees himself as a starter. Don't know if you saw any of his post-game comments, but don't call him he's not a backup, just so you know. Then it's, you know, Monday night game at LA against the Chargers. They lost today to the Cowboys. You know, then Bears, Broncos, Eagles at home, Giants on the road. I mean, yeah, the schedule starts looking like one where they could get to like 6-2 kind of range.
6-2, I'm 7-0 at the bye week.
Bye.
I mean, they're going to go undefeated.
Well, just a little bye week. We'll have to reassess the bye week. But, I mean, in all seriousness, they do have a lot of confidence. They have winning games with the guys who are, you know, the depleted offensive line. No Josh Jacobs, which is a huge deal. Josh can come back next week. That's a huge element for their offense to add. And he's, to my mind, he's a great running back. I know he got mad because I wrote about they may not be as eager with a contract extension with his injury and his durability issues. But still, he's a great player. And he's definitely, no one questions his toughness. So if he comes back, this offense can take another jump up and be even better once he gets back.
Yeah, I think the big thing for them at this point is his health. I wrote about that tonight. I mean, if they can start to get some of those guys back, like Incognito and Jacobs and, you know, Kwiatkowski coming off concussion and Moreau at some point coming off of IRR. You know, if they can get healthy, you know, as the season goes on, that's been an issue. Like they've gotten, as we said, I mean, last year they started 6-3, but as the season's waned, you know, I wouldn't necessarily say it was injuries in the last couple of years, but for various reasons, they've fallen off at the end of the season. And this year, the biggest threat to them doesn't seem to be, you know, the defense being terrible or the offense not living up to expectations. It seems to be health. So I think that's really the biggest thing moving forward, you know, when it comes to their playoff hopes.
Yeah, and just to go back to Jacobs coming back and making an impact, I mean, we saw Kenyon Drake is making an impact as a receiver, but when he's just not anywhere near the inside runner that Jacobs is. You know, you saw him try to push these runs out wide and losing yards and, you know, just doing things that you shouldn't do as a running back. And, you know, Jacobs is just, even though he's not getting much blocking, I think Jacobs will turn some of those -2 runs into three, you know, possibly 3-4 yard gains, which is pretty impactful.
Yeah, it seemed like Drake is a little bit hesitant going up the middle. On some of the, you know, he didn't carry the ball a ton, but seems like he's a little bit hesitant when they try those inside runs with him. I mean, and Barber didn't do very much, but, you know, late in the game, last, you know, he was able to get a couple of decent runs to at least help them put this game away.
He would at least stick his head down and just run hard through holes and pick up some of those tough yardage, which Jacobs does. And when he gets into the backfield, I mean, the secondary, we know Jacobs can make guys miss. Yeah, I mean, again, this is why Derek Carr's start is so impressive, because he has no run game right now. He's doing it all by himself. Him in the quick game is the Raiders' running game as of right now.
And with 817 passing yards through two games, franchise record for a Raiders quarterback through two games, and the 7th most passing yards ever through the first 2 weeks of the season. I mean, that's pretty impressive company for Derek Carr.
Should be on Ted's fantasy team. Ted, do you have Derek Carr on your fantasy team?
No, I have Justin Herbert, so he let me down big time today.
Why? we told him we don't care about his fantasy team, but then you're bringing it back up? Come on, Vic.
Vic's asking a tough question. Sorry. I'm just answering.
I was being a smartass. Imagine that, me being a smartass. Trying something new.
All right, guys, I think that'll wrap up tonight's episode of State of the Nation. The Raiders get to 2-0 with a 26-17 win over the Pittsburgh Steelers. They're heading back to Vegas. They're going to take on the Miami Dolphins next Sunday, try to get to 3-0, and we'll see if they can do it. They're on a roll. They're playing well. Their defense looks real, and we'll see what they can do next week against Miami.
Great job.
All right, talk to you guys later.
Adios.
Win.